ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Understanding with the verse, because I looked at the Bhagavatam and all the verses after the last verse you spoke upon had no purport. So I chose the next purport in line was verse 22. I don't know, I can't see the board. What verse is there? 16. Okay. So 15 was the last verse you had. So then we will read verse 15, but if you allow me to, I will speak about verse 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, until 22, and we'll speak about 22 because there is a purpose there. Okay. So verse 16.
Yaso yasasvinam sudham. Shlagya ye guninam gunam, Lubhasva kupitam hantim, Shvitro rupam iveshitam.
Prabhus. Yasa, the fame. Yasasvinam, of those who are famous. Sudham, pure. Shlagya, praiseworthy. Ye, which? Guninam, of those endowed with good qualities. Guna, the quality. Lobha, greed. Shu alpa, a little. Api, even. Tan, these. Hanti, destroys. Shvitra, white leprosy. Rupam, physical beauty. Iva, just as. Ipsitam, enchanting. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Whatever pure fame is possessed by the famous, and whatever praiseworthy qualities are found in the virtues, are destroyed by even a small amount of greed, just as one's attractive physical beauty is ruined by a trace of white leprosy. So, as I said, if you allow me, I will continue reading those texts and translation until verse 22.
Sarane Siddhe Utkarse Rakshane Vyaye Nashoka Bhogayasyasas Trasas Chinta Brahmunrinam.
Translation: in the earning, attainment, increase, protection, expense, loss, and enjoyment of wealth, all men experience great labor, fear, anxiety, and delusion. Text 18 and 19.
Steyam hi samsritam dambha kama krodas mayumada vedo vairam avishvasa samsparta viyasanan sananicham ete pancha dasanartha hi artamula matanrinam tasmadanartham artakyam shreyoriti duratascagyet.
Translation: theft, violence, speaking lies, duplicity, lust, anger, perplexity, pride, quarreling, enmity, fearlessness, envy, and the dangers caused by a woman, gambling and intoxication are the 15 undesirable qualities that contaminate men because of greed for wealth. Although these qualities are undesirable, men falsely ascribe value to them. One desiring to achieve the real benefit of life should therefore remain aloof from undesirable material wealth. There's a four-line purpose to this that I will read. The words anartham, artakyam, or undesirable wealth indicate wealth that cannot be efficiently engaged in the loving service of the Lord. Such superfluous money or property will undoubtedly pollute a man with all of the above mentioned qualities and therefore should be given up. Vidyante bharato dara pitarasu svidastata ekas negrida kakinina sadhya sarve rayatritam. Even a man's brothers, wife, parents and friends united with him in love will immediately break off their affectionate relationship and become enemies over a single coin. Atenalpya sahiyete samradva dipdamanyava chayantiyasus pitognanti sahasros rijya saurijam. For even a small amount of money, these relatives and friends become very agitated and their anger is inflamed. Acting as rivals, they quickly give up all sentiments of goodwill and will reject one at a moment's notice, even to the point of committing murder. And now verse 22. Labdvajanmam maraparachyam manusyam tad vijagriyatam tad anadrityaye svartam gninanti yanti asubam gatim. Translation and purpose by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Those who obtain human life, which is prayed for even by the demigods, and in that human birth become situated as first-class brahmanas, are extremely fortunate. If they discard his important opportunity, they are certainly killing their own self-interest and thus achieve a most unfortunate end. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments as follows. Human birth is better than that of the demigods, ghosts, spirits, animals, trees, lifeless stones, and so forth, because the demigods simply enjoy celestial pleasures, and in other forms of life there is excessive suffering. It's only in human life that one deeply considers one's ultimate benefit in life. Human birth is therefore more desirable than even that of the demigods. Within human life, the position of a high-class brahmana is certainly most desirable. If a brahmana, however, gives up the devotional service of the Lord and works hard like a sudra simply for the prestige of his community, he is certainly on the platform of material sense gratification. The special qualification of the brahmanas is the spiritual knowledge by which they recognize every living entity to be an eternal servant of the Lord. A brahmana, free from false ego, thus feels himself lower than a blade of grass and tolerantly offers respects to all living entities. All human beings, and especially the brahmanas, should avoid becoming killers of their own self-interest by neglecting Krishna consciousness, the loving service of the Lord. Such neglect paves the way for future suffering. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Chinamini Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pachayane Nivisesha Sunyavadi Paskatya Disatani Hare Krishna. So first of all, I wanted to thank everybody for inviting me to Melbourne. I guess this is where I am now. I'm coming all the way from Germany. I spent 2 weeks in Auckland and 2 weeks in Wellington, and now I'm happy to be here, even though I found out that nobody really knew that I was coming. So I hope I'm not intruding your regular program. I'm happy to have the opportunity to speak to you this morning, and I will do my best to make the few points that Srila Prabhupada makes over these few verses, and then very especially to the verse 22. So as we have, I suppose, all heard before, the chapter tells the story of the sannyasis from the Avanti country. And Srila Prabhupada presents this story to us, rather the Srimad Bhagavatam presents this story to us as an example how to tolerate disturbances and offenses created by evil persons. So this is the main reason why this story is being told. So we learn, according to the example of this Brahmana, how to tolerate disturbances and offenses. The next thing that Srila Prabhupada says is that harsh words pierces the heart more deeply than arrows. So all of us, we have an idea about how war can be, even if we did not experience in this generation any particular wars, at least not those in this part of the world. At least from the cinema or somewhere we've seen, you know, how arrows can pierce to the point of death. But here Srila Prabhupada explains that these arrows of harsh words that we all have experienced, they are worse than that.
Can I just put this up?
Okay. So they are worse than that because they really pierce the very sensitive part of the heart, which is not, has nothing to do with the physical body. It's a very subtle hurt. And we know once we have been pierced by one of these arrows, even if we try to pull the arrow out, it doesn't quite work. The hurt and the feelings, they last for a very long time. And especially among devotees, it is very important when these things happen to actually take care of these arrows and get rid of them by talking to the person, clarifying, trying to find explanations why this is happening and all this, and then actually come to a friendly platform that we can appreciate each one as a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and get rid of all these problems that are piercing the heart. And when the heart is pierced in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not happy because he lives in the heart. And we will be hampered in the advancement of our spiritual life. So this is a hint from Srila Prabhupada to tell us that it is very important to avoid these offenses in the first place. But because we live in this material body, and in this material life, it is sometimes unavoidable, but it is extremely important to take care of it and not let the devotees suffer unnecessarily. And not just the devotees, but even everybody around us, even a person in the worldly world, if we happen to offend them, this is an offense. We will talk a little more about this later. So, this sannyasi simply considered the result of his past deeds. And here it says that when he finally decided to take sannyas, and so many people were harassing him in so many different ways, he simply tolerated this with sobriety because he knows that previously he had been extremely greedy. And he was miserly, this is the main point that is made here, because this sannyasi, even though he had such great wealth, he did not use it for religious purposes, and he did not even use it for sense enjoyment. So that made him particularly miserly. And as a result, all his family members were deprived, and they were deprived, here it says in the Bhagavatam, they were deprived of every kind of sense enjoyment. So this means somehow, this is also a hint here, that when we are in family life, the family provides a special arrangement for wife, husband and the children to actually
to, within the limits of the religious scriptures, enjoy material life without committing offenses, as long as they enjoy their lives according to the rules and regulations of the Grihastha Ashram. So this sannyasi did not even provide this for his family members. So here in the Bhagavatam, is this considered to be a very great sin not to provide properly for his family members. And as a result, he became completely deprived and all his wealth went away after time. Through thieves, his family members took everything away from him, and providence. It is explained here, providence means that the outside material happenings made that he was not able to keep his wealth anymore. So, Srila Prabhupada again completely emphasizes the fact that someone who never engages in religiosity or does not allow his family members to enjoy life properly becomes ignored by his family members and thus feels great anxiety. So, as I just said, when this wealth is being wasted and lost, we feel great lamentation. And here it is described how this sannyasi choked with tears when he was meditating about his past life. So this is another quite important point, is that we have to contemplate our actions and our activities. We have to look back. What is it that we did in the past? What is it that I'm doing now? And what is going to be the purpose of my future? So here, this example of this Avanti Brahmana shows that he meditated for a very long time about these different things. So he took his time. And as a result of this meditation, a sense when he contemplated all of his misdeeds, it's explained in the Bhagavatam, a feeling of renunciation came up in his heart. So that's another result of contemplating our activities in the past and trying to understand all the different things that we've been doing. As a result of it, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleased with our attitude to try to understand our past activities. And as a result of it, as it says, in the heart, a feeling of renunciation is coming up.
So now you've changed? Yeah?
It's better, yeah, because I had this problem speaking.
Thank you. So, now the feeling of renunciation came up. And when he felt this feeling of renunciation come up in his heart, he immediately understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is satisfied with him. He's satisfied that he took the trouble to sit down and meditate and contemplate his life. And by this feeling of renunciation, already we understand that he has understood his mistakes and is trying to rectify. So by this, immediately, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very happy. In other parts of the Bhagavatam, it says that even a very, very faint feeling of correction or renunciation or feeling for the Supreme Personality of God, even it is so faint that sometimes we only perceive it for a fraction of a second. The Supreme Personality of Godhead notices it and takes advantage of it and helps us to advance in our path. Even if we are sometimes so engrossed that we don't even notice it and we are not able even to act on it. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead feels it, sees it immediately and does something with it and gives us by this the opportunity to serve Him. So this is very important sometimes to say, how can I achieve certain things? Then we say, pray to the Lord to ask Him to help you realize these desires, but sometimes we are not even able to make this prayer. So we say, we pray
to be able to pray, or we pray to be able to pray, to pray, to pray. So this is how it goes on. You know, so we have no excuse not to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because as it says in the text, as soon as a very faint feeling of correction, remorse, regret for our activities in the past, the Supreme Personality of Godhead amplifies it and helps us to find a way how to serve Him ultimately. So Srila Prabhupada goes on with all these verses that the wealth does not allow happiness, and it says particularly, again repeatedly actually, it says, and if this wealth is not used for religious purposes, I already said it two times, but Prabhupada says it three or four times in this text, or for the enjoyment of the family members, this wealth would surely take you to hell. So this is very important to understand this. This means that especially the grihasthas in general, devotee grihasthas are not so wealthy. But for those who are, even those who are not, it is their duty to engage whatever they have in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and of course in the service of His family members also, so that they will be happy and satisfied. So here we were talking about this brahmana who was afraid to spend his money, neither for religious purposes nor for social duties, and by this, Srila Prabhupada said, he offended God by not engaging in religious activities, and he offended people in general. So this is very important to understand, that we have a religious duty, we also have a social duty towards our family members and the society around us. So, and then Srila Prabhupada explains that just like a trace of white leprosy, that's the verse that you had yesterday, when you have leprosy, leprosy is a very bad disease, even if you have a very beautiful face, but you have white spots of leprosy on your body, then that will destroy all beauty. There will be no meaning to the beauty anymore, and in the same way greed destroys all good qualities. This is how important it is to realize, to look at ourselves and try to see how greedy am I? Where is my greed hidden? Because we are in this material world because of enviousness and greed. So we surely are afflicted by the feeling of greed. So we have to look in ourselves and try to detect it, where it's hiding. Sometimes it's hiding, especially amongst devotees' life. We have such a wonderful life. We go about our daily activities in a completely automatic and way. And we assume that everything is just fine because I'm offering my flower to the deities and to Srila Prabhupada every day. I'm going in the kitchen and cooking. I'm going on sankirtan and all these things. But still, we have to make sure that we don't hide behind these activities and forget to do what I call, because I'm in a lady's bodies, house cleaning. You know, the ladies, we know this word very nice, but the Prabhus also, I'm sure, house cleaning. This means eventually, every day or every second day, we have to do house cleaning. This means we have to look at ourselves and detect all these bad habits and pray to the Lord to try to overcome them. So Srila Prabhupada goes on that all men experience great labor, fear, anxiety and delusion when they try to achieve earnings, attainments, and they try to protect the families. These are automatic byproducts that cannot be avoided. This is the nature of things. Krishna has, I say, he has written a particular computer program for this material life. And the program is that if you take care of these things, automatically you will feel fear, anxiety, delusion. Automatically. He arranged this because if it wasn't like that, even though sometimes we wonder, why is God like this? If He loves us, why does He make these terrible arrangements that we have to suffer so much in material life? But this is out of love, because if we would not have these difficulties, we will never have a reason to serve the Supreme Personality of God, and we will just be satisfied doing what we're doing, and that's it. But Krishna, out of love, he understands that we are missing something, the real love that we are looking for. And therefore, out of his endless mercy, he has arranged material life in such a way that we will feel suffering. And by feeling this suffering, ultimately, we will ask the question, why? And by asking this question, why, immediately Lord Krishna is going to say, aha, see, he has come to the point. Now we're going to help him and show him the way. So this is a wonderful explanation in Krishna consciousness. All other religions have a hard time explaining these points. And therefore, they don't understand really. They think that the suffering of material nature has something else to do than God. So they are assuming that there must be another force that is at least as powerful as God, if not even more powerful, because this suffering makes you even forget God. So their philosophy is completely off, and only in Krishna consciousness do we come to understand how material energy is Krishna's personal external energy, and spiritual energy is his personal energy, and that we are never independent. This idea of freedom is a complete illusion. We are always under the influence of either Krishna's external energy, and if not, Krishna's internal energy, and if not, Krishna's external energy, and so on, constantly. And this struggle that we feel on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, maybe even every second of the day, is there to help us always, just like when we drive a car. You have to be careful to be on the road and not to crash another car, or a person who crosses the street, and like this. So the same way, we have to drive our consciousness in such a way that at every second of the day, we will always be able to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in case we forgot, immediately we have to correct, just like the car. Oh my God, I'm going off the road. I might drive down the cliff. Now I have to stay on the road and get back on track. So this is Krishna's incredible mercy, that he is giving us the opportunity to realize where we are at every moment. So then on verse 18 and 19, Srila Prabhupada talks about, he gives a purport of four lines, and he says, anatam atabhyam, undesirable wealth that cannot be used in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This kind of wealth pollutes a man and has to be given up. In another place, Srila Prabhupada says that wealth should not be foolishly be given up. Because just to give up wealth, this is not going to free you from the pangs of this material nature. Your wealth has to be used in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then your wealth has its proper purpose. Therefore, you should accept this kind of wealth and use it in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But don't give it up. But here Srila Prabhupada talks about the kind of wealth that we have that cannot be used in the service of the Supreme Personality of God, and that kind of wealth should be given up. So then on verse 20, Srila Prabhupada talks about that when somebody is miserly, even his dear family members, we know the attachment to family members is one of the strongest attachments, to wife, to their own children, to mom and dad, to sisters and brothers, cousins and all these. And even as soon as there's money problem in the family, that's the end. That's even stronger than the love in the family members. We know all over the place these problems are there. As soon as money is in question, husbands and wives, children, family members, they fight over the money, to the point, Srila Prabhupada says, of even killing each other. All the newspapers are full of this on a daily basis. This is the whole business. for material attachment, everybody is prepared to give up their heartfelt feeling to their loved ones and to the point of even killing each other. Okay. So as a result, this Avanti Brahmana, considering all these points, as we just said before, this feeling of renunciation came up. And it shows, at the same time, his example, how even though someone may be engaged in a very negative, or have been engaged, or may be engaged in very negative material life, as soon as he considers his situation, this negativity changes into something completely positive, all of a sudden. Even though it's from the material point of view and from the spiritual point of view, it seems to be completely negative, it automatically becomes positive, because even this negativity, by this negativity, we understand that we're doing something wrong. And from the moment we understand that we're doing something wrong, we ask for correction. And the minute we ask for correction, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased and helps us correct. So this is the wonderful thing in Krishna consciousness, that never mind what your life is, it will always come out to be good. Because either we are positively engaging our activities in the service of the Lord, in making progress, supporting the preaching programs, etc. Or we are doing something wrong, and eventually it will come to our senses, and that will become also the cause of our advancement. At some places, Srila Prabhupada talks about the different kind of gurus that exist. There are so many different kind of gurus besides the one that we ultimately surrender to and that is going to guide us in spiritual life. It is explained that even those, for example, a murderer or a criminal person is also a kind of guru, because he shows you by his example what not to do. So that's even positive. Because you understand by this, oh, he is doing, showing me something wrong, and by this I understand I shouldn't do this, I should do the right thing. So there are also gurus. So there are gurus on all levels. Those that we want to follow, and those that are showing by their example what not to follow. So, ultimately there is no loss. In material life, never mind what experience we're making, there's absolutely no loss, because at the good end we are going to understand that we need to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is how this sannyas was contemplating, and here Srila Prabhupada talks again about all these unwanted results from material involvement, like fear, anxiety, and that achieves thievery, violence, lying, deception, lust, anger, pride, feverishness, disagreement, hatred, distrust, conflict, attachment to women, gambling, and intoxication. So one of all these things that is being numbered here, one is this feverishness that kind of came to my mind. Because it is a fact that when we are, you know, for us especially, we are maybe not, we have left our life of sinful activities to the greatest extent. So for us, gambling, intoxication, etc. is no longer an issue. But then we have very subtle other issues, like maybe lying or deception, lust, anger, pride and feverishness, disagreement. Disagreement is very common even amongst devotees. Srila Prabhupada explains, in order to be able to take to spiritual life, you have to be agreeable. And Srila Prabhupada in the Bhagavatam has used this word samatha that I have been quoting so many times, at least 100 times in the past 4 weeks that I have been speaking. Because this disagreement frame of mind has to be tackled by the devotees. It's extremely important. Because the thing is, as long as we were engaged in mature life, you know, we had to disagree with almost everything. generally mature life means I'm right, everything everybody else is wrong, and so we are constantly in disagreement with everything. Then later on, when we become devotees and we realize that we have to get ourselves out of this material situation, again, we become even more disagreeable because we are recognizing I shouldn't be doing this, I shouldn't be doing that, I shouldn't be doing this, and I shouldn't be doing that. So even more then, we have developed the habit of being disagreeable, right? We needed it to save our skin, right? But there comes a time we have to give this up. We have to notice in ourselves where this habit of disagreement is sitting and get rid of it and ultimately become agreeable, samatha. Because now we have surrendered at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so we have to be agreeable with his devotees, with the authorities, with our friends, devotee friends, and with what the Supreme Personality of Godhead is trying to show us and tell us. And if we don't give up this mentality of disagreement, it will become very difficult to make advancement in our spiritual life. And from the minute we give up this mentality, the Supreme Personality of God can actually begin to use us in his service. Because at that moment, we are no longer driven by what we want to do or what we think is best in devotional service, but we can actually begin to think, what does Krishna want me to do? Agreement. So this is a very important point. So then it goes on, Srila Prabhupada says, when this meditation arose in his heart, he could understand that the Supreme Personality of God was satisfied him. So again, even though his whole life was a complete mess, he came to the conclusion there was no loss. No loss at the end, even though he lost everything. No loss. And he became to be thankful for the feeling of detachment that rose in his heart. And therefore, that saved his soul. Srila Prabhupada said, that saved his soul, to actually become thankful for all the things that happened, because now we understand, just like fire, mother may tell the child, the fire is hot, don't touch it, it burns. If the child is very smart, he will understand, but nowadays with the Kali Yuga brains, we all know that, no, I have to experience everything myself first, then I know. Okay, so we will get burned by fire. But once we got burned by fire, oh, then we know. And by this experience, we know I am not going to touch fire again. So here this explains the same thing. This Avanti Brahmana, he was contemplating all his past deeds. And he could see, well, okay, now I know. I have learned my lesson. This is not going to happen to me again. I am not going to fall down again. And I'm very thankful for all the experiences that I have been able to gather, because now I feel quite safe and I can serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, sometimes, if we are not able to learn by hearing, because the Srimad Bhagavatam classes, they tell us every day what we are supposed to learn, but if we cannot, if this is not enough, sometimes we have to experience ourselves. Therefore, we have to make a few steps backwards. But Krishna, he is very kind and he knows how hard, he knows we really only want to serve him. So he is making it easy for us to experience the lessons that we have to learn. And eventually we will come to an understanding and give it up and be very thankful for it and go about our business. And then at one point, we come to the point of understanding that we have saved our souls because we have understood really what all this is all about. So, as a result, the Avanti Brahmana decided to engage the rest of his life in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as a consequence, he took Tridandi Sannyas and offered his mind, speech, his mind, his soul, and his speech to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
And this is what the devotees also do when they come to the point of realizing what's happening in their lives. They suffer, they meditate about it, and as a result, the Supreme Personality of God shows them the way. They meet with the devotee, get a book on the street, come to the feast one time, a few times, come to the Bhakta Ashram, and then eventually they take to full Krishna consciousness. And this is how the Supreme Personality of God is helping us. So this Brahmana, of course, he went and begged charity, but the people harassed him, and he simply tolerated it. Remaining firm like a mountain, he remained fixed in his chosen spiritual path and sang the song of Bhikshu Gita. So he remained firm like a mountain. This is so important, because he knew that he is now experiencing the reaction of his bad life. So even though we understand all the things that we've done, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thanks to his kindness again, he doesn't say, okay, then let's forget about it, everything, and then let's go on about business. He said, no, I know how it feels. Now you have to suffer the consequences of all the things you did. Because if I just let you go, just because you understood and that's it, and you don't suffer the consequences, well, pretty soon we're going to be saying, well, so it's okay, I can do all kinds of sinful activities. After some time, the Supreme Personality of God is going to excuse it all, and I can do back and forth, Bhogacharya all the time, back and forth. No. So the Supreme Personality of God is much more intelligent than all of us, and he made this arrangement, this punishment, so to say, that you have to suffer the results. So even though this Avanti Brahmana now has changed his life, has dedicated his life to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, still he had to suffer the reaction of his activities. Probably only compared to what he normally would have to suffer, just a small fraction. The only thing that happened to him is that people on the street were making fun of him, they were harassing him, so many things they were doing to him. You know, we know this, huh? When we go on the street, especially when we go to India sometimes, so many people, they come, bakshish, bakshish, and all these things, right? We push them away and all this. So we know that this is just a small, small, small fraction of actually what we should have to suffer normally. So then Srila Prabhupada explains that no mortal persons, no demigod, not the soul, not the ruling planets, nor the reaction of work, nor time are the causes of our activities, of our unhappiness, of happiness and distress. None of these things, nobody else is responsible for what we are doing and the reaction that are occurring to us. Nobody is responsible but us. So even though sometimes we are so entangled that we forget the origin of our doings, because in the meantime it's so entangled that sometimes we think, how will I get out of this, because I don't see the way out. The first way out is to understand that nobody else is responsible for what's happening to me except myself. And if we have understood, or if we try to understand this very clearly, something miraculous happens. We are almost freed from the reaction of activities, because from that moment on we will understand that I have to very, very carefully do everything what I do, by lots of thinking beforehand, making sure I'm doing the right thing, asking for advice and all these things, and only act when you're sure that you are going to do the right thing. So, here Srila Prabhupada explains that only the mind is the cause of our wandering in the cycle of birth and death. And then it says that the real purpose of all charity and religiosity is to bring the mind under control, especially for those who have not come in touch with Krishna consciousness yet. These are all steps, little steps, before we actually understand the absolute truth.
is that to help control the mind, because normally with this wealth we would do so much nonsense, but by giving it away in charity, that helps controlling the mind. And then we come, of course, to the question that Arjuna asked Lord Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, remember? He said, how is it that I will control the mind? And Lord Krishna explains that the mind is more difficult to control than the wind, even. And we know the wind cannot be controlled by all means. What to speak of the mind? But here, Lord Krishna, by his infinite kindness, has arranged the Vanashram Dharma system with all its steps and rules and regulations, how to show us how to handle our life in such a way that ultimately we will achieve this one thing, control the mind. So, then Srila Prabhupada goes on to saying that if a person has controlled his mind, then there is no need for any other activities except to be engaged in Krishna service. And if someone has failed to control his mind, nothing can help him. So this is how important it is. So I'm almost coming to the end. Is this okay? Another 10 minutes? Yes? Is this okay? Yeah, thank you. So, therefore, the Avanti Brahmana become determined and fixed like a mountain. This means to bring himself over the insurmountable ocean of material nature by rendering service at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like a mountain. We know a mountain cannot be moved. But at the same time, there is another saying that says, somebody can move mountains. So there must be a reason why this saying is existing on one side, and everybody knows a mountain cannot be moved, but at the same time there is this expression, I can move mountains. Why is that? Because if someone has come to a place of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as a matter of fact, nothing at all is difficult anymore. Even this insurmountable ocean of material nature just become like a step, like a little pond of water that we can cross over just with a step, within a step. So easy it becomes. So then it's explained that the Avanti Brahmana, he engaged himself in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just like all the previous stalwart devotees have done. This means he is referring here to the Guru Parampara, taking example from all our previous acharyas, how they have overcome material nature by serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is very important, because by ourselves we may not know how to do this, but by taking example from all the Guru Parampara and the previous acharyas, they are telling us exactly how to do it. So if we just do that, then we will be successful. Every day when we say our obeisances, we're talking about the Vamatma gurus. They are gurus that are showing us the way. I like to take the example of a snow field or maybe fresh grass. When the snow is fresh, I don't know if you've seen snow in this part of the world, yes? You know, this is nice, snow, but as soon as one person walks there, the way is already shown. 2 person, 3 person, 10, all the gurus and all the acharyas, wow, the way is very clear, and we just have to follow the way like little ducklings, you know, tick, 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 and walk on this way, everything will be just fine. Just do and follow what they say, like little ducklings. You know, little ducklings, they look quite stupid, the mom is going in front, everybody else is just following, you know, they don't think much, they just follow. So this is our business, just to follow the great acharya, and then we will achieve perfection. And this is what this Avanti Brahmana did. And again, Srila Prabhupada says, only when one focuses his intelligence on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can the mind completely be subdued. Only then. No other ways. This is the essence of all. and the practical description for spiritual advancement. So, time is right. I had a little more to say, but I'm going to stop here because it's a good conclusion. And if there is anyone who wants to contribute, maybe complete what I have to say, comment, correct me, or ask a question, you are welcome to do so now. Yes, please.
When I was talking about how that can't be used in the service of...
Yeah, I was wondering myself, Srila Prabhupada does not specify anything, but he says that a kind of wealth that is superfluous, this means you have built a temple, you're serving the deities, you're doing everything, and there's still so much more extra. You know, either you use it again to serve in the preaching mission. Of course, in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, I guess there's no scarcity on how to put Krishna's money in his service, you know. But in material world, people, they have, you know, the financial crisis who started, well, I think, 2 years ago now. In Germany, we have rich people that they have like 50 millions of money. And what happened when the crisis happened? Just because the person lost €5 million, he committed suicide. Can you imagine? I mean, this is incredible, isn't it? This is how far gone things are. We cannot actually imagine. We have no understanding of really what's happening in this material world out there because we are already so removed. We don't have any understanding. Of course, for a Krishna conscious person, you know, if we had so much money, yeah, we will have plenty of things to do. Achinta Rupa, you wanted to ask something?
Yeah, when you talk about happiness,
yes.
And everyone always thinks they have to achieve happiness, and it's going to come from some chasing something or trying to get it from somewhere.
Yeah. How does that?
How does it work for yourself then if you're thinking that happiness comes from everywhere else and I've tried to go after it?
Well, okay, there's two ways to go about it. Either you believe what the acharyas and the spiritual master and the devotees tell you every day, but in classes and also because all the content of these classes is to understand this. And either you understand, you believe it, you accept it, samatha, huh? And you execute your work on it, you practice it, even though at the beginning we may not realize it yet, but we practice it because this is what is being said every day. We believe it, we don't know it for sure because we have no experience yet, maybe because we're beginners. So, but by practicing, eventually this will happen. Or we are not hearing and not practicing. This is very important to practice this, to exercise. This is like an exercise. I'm going to talk about this in a second again. And or you don't do it, you don't exercise this, and then Krishna is going to make you feel it in that you're going to become involved again in material activities to the point that you're going to feel it, and then you'll know. So this exercise point, I wanted to get back to this, is in the past 4 weeks that I've been in New Zealand, this is mostly what we were talking about because almost everybody was asking these kind of questions. So it is that, you know, when we look around and see the other devotees, we have a pretty good opinion about the persons, what their good qualities are and what their not so good qualities are. So this exercise that we are doing almost automatically, we should actually do even with ourselves. We should try to look at ourselves just like a person who would be running around out there. And we would see ourselves, you know, out there. And then you look at yourself and you make inventory of what you think good qualities you may have. and all the not so good qualities you may have. And you have to look at them, you have to detect them. And if you cannot do it, then ask your best friend to do it for you. Ask him, what do you think is wrong with me? What do you think is my shortcomings? Please help me, tell me. And then we have to accept them and see them and work at it. And say, oh, here I have a weakness. Here I am trying to find happiness outside of myself, outside of the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, outside of my own self-interest. That was where Prabhupada speaks here, our own self-interest. We want to be happy, but we're looking in the wrong place. We're looking around outside. Srila Prabhupada explains that nothing is responsible for our happiness, nor the persons who are giving me a hard time. You know, sometimes it happens, even amongst devotees, we have somebody we like very much, but then others we don't like so much, and they're giving us a hard time. And we think, oh, if I could just remove this person from my life would be just perfect. I'm already surrendered to the Supreme Personality of God, and I'm doing my service so perfectly, and this person is bugging me every day. Yeah, no. The bug is inside. And we have to find this bug and detect it. And then not hide it and shovel it under the carpet and act as if it wouldn't exist. But be serious about it and pray to Krishna to help you to remove this bug. And if nothing else, put this bug in the service of the Supreme Personality of God. Then the bug will be happy also to be able to serve Krishna. And then everybody is serving together. That's all. Simple. Takes time. But the important thing the important thing is we have to apply. Just hearing it and listening to it is better than nothing, but it's not enough. We have to practice. This is very important. Otherwise, we can spend 40 years chanting Hare Krishna, and after 40 years, we've seen it. So many very advanced devotees, they're gone. All of a sudden, why? Because they missed the opportunities to detect the bugs and put them in Krishna's service. So this is very important. Thank you for the question. I hope I answered it somehow.
Yes, please.
My question is more related to when we're doing service in different phases of our spiritual life. Sometimes we may want to do things that we like, and if we're asked to do something else, then we're not so enthusiastic. So how do we actually debug ourselves from having that impact?
I think we have discovered a new word, huh? Debugging.
Well, first of all, when this happened, we have to understand that we have not come to the place of 100% wanting to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That even though, and this is natural, this is normal, it's not perfect, but it's nothing wrong with it, because we are all beginners and we have to start somewhere. So it's better to put our own desires in the service of Krishna rather than not doing it at all. But eventually, if we keep doing it, as we advance, eventually there will come a place where we will realize, well, everything I've been doing all these years is just, you know, satisfying myself while I'm doing service. Okay? So eventually we will all come to that place. And once we come to that place of realizing that there is more to just satisfying my senses in Krishna consciousness and making sure that, you know, I've eaten properly, slept properly, done the nice service I wanted to do and all these things, that eventually we come to a point of maturity where the devotee all of a sudden asks himself, what have I done? Same procedure. Again, looking back, contemplating and realizing, what have I done in Krishna consciousness all these years? And all of a sudden we realize, well, I've done this and this and that, but now it's time for me to grow. It's time for me. And then the question comes, well, actually, really, I'm reading Srila Prabhupada's books every day, but he is a person. What does he have in his mind? What did he think what this movement should be like? What did he think what the Supreme Personality of God, how he wants to be served? Not how I think it should be done, but what did he think? How does my spiritual master think how Krishna should be served? And on and on. And when you come to that platform of actually beginning to ask the questions, I'm here in Krishna consciousness for so many years doing what I think is right, but now I've done this enough and I realize that I'm not advancing anymore. So the next question comes, what does my spiritual master think? What does Srila Prabhupada think? What does Krishna want? And from the minute we start asking these questions, then Krishna will give us answers and will show us more and more, little by little, everything, step by step, more and more what he wants. And if we're open to this and we're finished with ourselves, then we are completely eyes and ears to hear what Krishna wants. And then devotional service begins, really, you know, on a completely new platform. Because then it's no longer me, it's Krishna, the Guru, all these things. So eventually every devotee has to come to that platform. Because we are here to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to His pleasure, for His pleasure, not for our pleasure. That we will derive pleasure from it, that is a side product. But it's not, our sin is not us. Does that answer your question? And I can tell you by own experience, it works. It happens and it works. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here talking to you in the position that I've been able to take over the years, after 40 years of, you know, doing every service on the catalog of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And at the end, one day realizing, wait a minute, what am I doing? You know, for all these years I've been doing and doing and doing according to my idea. We call this in the past 4 weeks, in other words, that we say is parallel universes. We invented this expression also, you know. We are all dreaming. We are all following a dream. You know, our dream of Krishna consciousness, our dream of this and that. So many dreams. And even that, it's better than nothing, but eventually we have to detect them and give them up. And begin living and dreaming the dream of our spiritual master or the founder Acharya of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because Srila Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita, if somebody thinks that he is going to become Krishna conscious outside of this society, he is living an hallucination. This is the word he is using. If you have computers, you type in hallucination and you find the verse. It's an hallucination. Because our business is to come to the platform of understanding, to try to satisfy the desire of the founder Acharya of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And when we come to this place, then we begin to enter, and then only by this. It's not by understanding intellectually so many different things. All these intellectual exercises is only there to bring you to that platform. To begin to ask the question, what does he want? How does he wanted us to do it so it comes out the way he wanted it? Yeah.
You have one? Did you ask?
I was just going to say that was Arjuna's question.
That's exactly, and we all have to come to that platform in real, not just intellectually, but for real. And this is why the process of Krishna consciousness takes so much time, even though it says, just become a devotee, chant Hare Krishna, Haribo, Haribo, everything is fine. Yes, sure. Because from the minute you begin, you are on the way. Guaranteed. And once you did that, even if you fall back, you will continue at some point. Huh? But ultimately, that's the purpose, to come to that platform. Yes, Prabhu?
It does seem to take a lot of time to develop that kind of gratitude.
Excuse me, I couldn't hear.
It does seem to take a lot of time to develop that kind of gratitude in devotional service. So is there any way you can speed it up?
Yes, you can. Srila Prabhupada says, in 1 second, this can happen. If you surrender right now, once and for all, then from that moment, everything is just online, and you are there, and you just have to accomplish your life according to that. This is why also Srila Prabhupada, you know, this society, why he explains also why only by this society we can achieve, is because of the sadhana bhakti that we are performing every day. If we realize that we are, the sadhana that we are doing is our way to talk to Krishna and offer our prayers to Krishna on a daily basis and tell him every day, yes, I surrender my life to you, I want to serve you, show me how to, then eventually he will take us serious and actually reciprocate and show us how to. But from the minute we stop this, even if we've done it for 40 years, from the minute we stop it, we will fall back immediately. So Krishna is... I will give you another example. For those who are living in a relationship, you know, it's not because we have taken a husband or a wife that, you know, by entering the relationship, getting married, we have declared to that person, I'm going to live with you, I love you, and I'm going to love you for the rest of my life. This is what we're doing by entering this ashram. But all of us know that even though we prove this by this getting into this ashram, still, if the husband or the wife doesn't show on a daily basis or every minute of the day that I love you, I serve you, I take care of you, and all these things, there are going to be great difficulties in the relationship. So Krishna, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he is very, we are all made according to his image. So he is also, as long as you're positively engage in his service and offer everything you have, he's going to reciprocate. The minute you don't, he's going to be say, hey, what's wrong with you? So we have to use everything that we do on a daily basis, all our minds, all our feelings, our sentiments, our activities, our words, our eyes, our ears, everything we have, if we have family members, if we have wealth, if we have whatever we have, everything has to come on one line, that we serve Krishna with all this. And then Srila Prabhupada says, with no reservation, no duplicity, open-minded, frank, open-minded, and no reservation. This means, many times we think we have given everything, but in the corner we're keeping so much more. And Krishna looks at that. He says, even though if what you gave is a lot bigger than what you're holding back, but for him, he wants what you're holding back. So we have to make sure that we have put everything in our life online for Krishna. Yes? Yes, you have to get away from this automatic habit, that's what I spoke about at the beginning, and this routine, we have to kill this routine, because this routine is killing us. You know, we have to get out of this routine completely, and really chant and pray when we sing the Sri Shikshastaka prayers and all these things. With full heart, this is what I mean. This is now Krishna, I'm now offering you this prayer. And Lord Chaitanya, why we are using the prayers of all these acharyas? Because they know best how to pray to Krishna. So we have to speak these on a day, not like, oh, finish, okay. Tomorrow again. No. We have to pray with a full heart. I mean these words that Lord Chaitanya says there. And when I speak them, you know, sometimes we have a Sunday feast, we have theater play, huh? And you want to give, make a show, You speak with your whole heart and your everything, so that those who look, they become completely entangled in your play. So with the same, every day, when Mangal Arati, you have to sing, when Guru Puja, every day you have to say, Krishna, this is now, you are here in front of me and this is what I'm telling you. The rounds that we are chanting, this is your holy name. Your holy name is not different from you. So I'm calling you with all my feelings, all my heart, all my soul. Every day. And what I'm doing, I have to do it perfectly, as good as I can, according to my ability, Sri Prabhupada explains, according to our ability. But we have to do everything the best we can. And not just say, oh, nobody is watching now, so I'm not going to sweep the floor, or I'm going to let the dirt, somebody else is going to come and do it. But Krishna is there, and he says, what do you mean? This is my floor, you're not sweeping it? You're leaving out? Okay, you go out, be in Maya if you like. The next one who's going to come and kill me, he is going to be my dear friend. So it's either you or you. He doesn't care. Of course he cares. He does, because he loves us. But so we have to become extremely conscious of everything what we are doing and how we are doing it. And if we practice this mentality, it becomes a second nature. And at the end, you're going to want to do everything perfectly for Krishna. And not just that it looks good from the outside and somebody else, nobody sees me just now, therefore it's okay. No, Krishna is everywhere. He sees you all the time. So we have to act as sometimes also I hear certain things said and I'm wondering and I'm asking the question, I said, Prabhu, if Prabhupada would be in the room just now, would you say this like this? Then the person goes, No. So we have to do everything as if, and they are, it's not as if. Sri Prabhupada is always there, Krishna is always there. But we have to become aware of it. And if we practice this over a certain period of time, Krishna notices, and then he knows. This devotee now, he is becoming mature. He is becoming real. He starts to serve me with full attention. And then, when Krishna notices that, then he can begin to use you in his service. So it's practice, 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 practice. Hearing, and then applying. Applying, that's the word I was looking for earlier. Apply, we have to apply the things we hear, and we have to practice. Otherwise, just to hear, and let it go out, and then, tomorrow in class, again, I have to sit in class today, I'm going to fall asleep, I've heard this so many times, and today again, and what is the rest of my life going to be to hear this again and again and again? And no, it's because we're here to hear about Krishna. This is Krishna, the book is Krishna, the words are Krishna, his devotees, his representatives, and if we awake and aware, then we will not be bored, we will not be tired, and we will practice and apply. And then we make advancement and we'll feel the difference. You will feel the complete difference. Completely. Of course, you said perfection is achieved, but I'm sure you've heard, he is the best devotee. But there comes another one, he is the best devotee, and he is also the best devotee. So according to our material understanding, so who's best? Now we say he's best. But in spiritual life it's like that. There's perfection, and there's perfection, and perfection, and perfection, and more. There's no end to it. So there's, even if you think that you have achieved perfection, we have not arrived yet. Yes, please.
Thank you, Mother, for a nice discussion. We have to know that we are completely surrendered to Krishna, like a dog.
Yes, exactly, thank you. Yeah, so the example of the dog is like the dog is doing everything for him to please his master. Understand? And then the master says, sit, dog sits, and then go. So there is actually a very nice story about this. I don't know what the detail was, but a dog that lost his master, I don't remember what. Anyway, I won't tell it because I'm not sure of the details of the story. But this is a good example. This is why the dog is taken as an example, because he's so faithful to his master. Yeah. But, you know, we want to be even better than the dogs. We want to give everything in Krishna's service and serve Him according to His purpose, eventually. Even if we're not able now, but, you know, we're growing. So we have to stick to the process and not give it up. And the result will be guaranteed, I can tell. Because I've gone through so many steps myself, and I have to go through so many more steps myself. But somehow or other, you know, from all the things that I've been doing, I'm able now to serve Krishna in a capacity that I was not always able before. Yes?
There was one comment that I read by one of my spiritual masters. He said that...
Who is the spiritual master?
I heard you.
Okay. You're not initiated yet?
No.
Okay.
But what he said, Guru Nishtha is the core devotional sentiment, sense of bhakti. And for me that was quite inspiring because it really sort of provides the devotion of gratitude and love that allows us to kind of get to that
yes.
point of saying just to come with devotion.
Yes, yeah. Nice. But still, if you don't find a spiritual master and surrender to him, it's leaking the honey bottle from outside. And we may be, everybody may be able to tell you for years how honey tastes, but we will never know unless you stick the finger inside and lick it up yourself. So, eventually, all the knowledge in Krishna consciousness is necessary to make advancement. But if it doesn't achieve the end of taking a spiritual master, it can even become an impediment. So my advice is, I don't know how long you've been around, but from your questions I understand you've been around for some time, maybe, I'm not sure. But anyway, so the point is to find a spiritual master to serve, that we can serve, because only then it's like a relationship. To make this point clear, maybe one more time, is like, for example, you know, before a young boy, young girl gets married, everybody's looking around and thinking, oh, maybe this one looks nice, this one is this and that, right? But eventually, we have to make up our minds. And only when we enter actually the relationship and say, okay, I'm going to pick this one and I'm going to live my life, then you know how a relationship feels like, really. And you have a person to serve. By which, and this person, you very practically serve the person and this person gives it to Krishna and on. And until this happens, we are wandering around like these young boys and girls who may be looking around and seeing so many nice girls and so many nice boys, but don't make a decision. So this is extremely important, to make up your mind ultimately. And there are so many wonderful gurus around who are serving Srila Prabhupada faithfully. So, you know, it doesn't depend on the color of the eyes or how far up the ground they can jump. But there are so many gurus that can do the job for us. So don't be too choosy, because otherwise the time might come, you might lose the opportunity. That happens. I know enough devotees that have been around for so many years and couldn't make up their minds. By now they've lost a chance. Nobody's interested in taking them as disciples. So Krishna also wants us to speed up a little bit. Yes. Exactly. Are we finished now?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much for your attention. Granta Raja Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.